Okay, this is Sunday morning, 3:14:21. We had a word of prophecy about how the world has taken God's music and merchandised it. Well, the church has merchandised his music too. But really, all seven hills of culture have been stolen from the church. We're supposed to be the ones in charge, occupy until he comes. So we have to take it back. We're learning, still learning to flow in the supernatural. The Lord gave me this title. It's Emotions, Cloud Judgment. And I was listening to someone, it was either Friday or Saturday, a young man that's, everything he says out of his mouth, you're just blown away by the wisdom, but he's like a nutty professor type. He's scatterbrained. He's always digging for stuff and looking around. It's just really amazing. And Charlie Ward was on with him, and Charlie just laughs. You know, he's like, but this profound stuff came out of his mouth, and he said this very thing, emotions cloud judgment. I thought, whoa, Lord, that's the title of Sunday's message. You know, that just come out of the blue at me. But yeah, emotions cloud judgment. The walk of faith, the walk in the kingdom has nothing to do with emotions. If you notice in the world, all it is emotions. If you don't believe that, just watch the left. It's a wonder they all don't all literally have pacifiers in their mouth. That's how emotional, like a bunch of toddlers throwing fits. And if they don't get their way, they're going to beat on you till you give in and give them what they want. They're just gangsters, mobsters. Act like children. Have no sense. Have no self-control at all. So the walk of the Spirit, learning to walk in the supernatural, is not walking by our emotions, but we walk by faith. We're going to look at a few scriptures here. This is Numbers 23. The whole world system is geared to get your emotions involved. All right, verse 19. Says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless. He hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. You know, there's no reason to get emotions involved in it, because God has already blessed. And he doesn't change his mind, and he does not lie. So what's emotions got to do with it? Emotions, can you trust them? I remember Urkel. Feelings, nothing more than feelings. I mean, come on. That's all it is. It's feelings. It's trying to get you to feel instead of walk by the Spirit. There's no, it's not the same thing. Feeling. Well, I got a feeling. No, that's not the right word. Now, you may perceive something by the Spirit, but feelings, those are emotions. Emotions are unstable, and you cannot trust them. Okay, we're going to keep going here. Let's go back a chapter to chapter 22. We're going to look at the life of Balaam here for a minute. Verse 1 says, and the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side Jordan by Jericho. And Balak the son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of the people because there were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that round about us as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak the son of Zippor was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messengers therefore unto Balaam the son of Beor of Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, Behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth and they abide over against me. You know, whether you think so or not, people know. They know your power. The left knows your power. They know you're going to lick them up, and that's why they're so afraid, and that's why they're so desperate, and that's why they act the way they do. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land, for I want that he whom thou blessest is blessed, whom thou cursest is cursed. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand, and they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. And he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent unto me, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said to the princes of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak, and said, Balaam refuses to come with us. And Balak sent yet again princes, more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me, for I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now therefore I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. There was his first mistake. God had already spoken. God had already said, this is the way it is. He should have said, I think you need to leave now. All right, verse 20. And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. He wasn't hearing God, was he? This is what I said here. I used to think that Balaam had a familiar spirit, and maybe he did. But what I see in this situation is that Balaam thought he could bargain with God. In other words, God saying no once was not enough. Well, maybe God didn't really mean it. You think? God ever say something to you he didn't mean? Every time Balak would come to him, he would go back to inquire of the Lord. He thought that God would change his mind, apparently. All right, let's keep reading. 22, and God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a way being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself unto the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. And he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. When the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled. He smote the ass with a staff. The Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me. I would there were a sword in mine hand, for now I would kill thee. And the ass said unto Balaam, am not I thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was there ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because the way is perverse before thee. And the ass saw me, and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore it displeased thee, I will get me back again. And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. And when Balak heard that Balaam was come, he went out to meet him unto a city of Moab, which is in the border of Arnon, which is the uttermost coast. And Balak said unto Balaam, did I not earnestly send unto thee to call thee? Wherefore camest thou not unto me? Am I not able indeed to promote thee to honor? Balaam was an opportunist. You seen that? First it was money. Now it's honor. And Balaam said unto Balak, Lord, I am come unto thee. Have I now any power at all to say anything? The word that the Lord putteth in my mouth, that shall I speak. Balaam went with Balak, and they came to Kirjath-Huzoth. And Balak offered oxen and sheep and sent to Balaam and to the princes that were with him. And it came to pass on the morrow that Balak took Balaam and brought him up into the high places of Baal, that thence he might see the uttermost part of the people. Let me finish here what the Lord gave me about this. Let's not just point a finger at Balaam. Do we ever question God even after he has already spoken? Yes, we all have, because we didn't like the outcome. Bottom line here, God said no. What did Balaam say? Why did Balaam just drop it? He said, well, you know, maybe I'm not hearing right. Maybe I need to revisit. Hold on there. Ever hear this? I mean, really? Okay. Well, God said this and God said that. You ever been around people that say that? Well, God said this and the Lord told me that and the Lord said this and the Lord said that. Next week you talk to them and they're saying something just off that I'm thinking, didn't the Lord say this last week? Anybody know anybody like that? Have you ever heard that? Fact is that God doesn't lie. It's difficult sometimes when God says what we do not want to hear, but we must hear because whatever he decides is good for us, whether we understand it or not. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts I have towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts for good, not for evil, to give you hope in a future, to give you a good end. Okay. So Balaam's emotions clouded his judgment. It caused him, instead of the Lord says no, he mean no. He means no. Okay. All right, we're going to look over in Luke chapter 1. Now we know, I think it's over in Hebrews that it talks about that Balaam actually enticed, he actually caused Israel to stumble over his actions. I forget the wording exactly. You know where that scripture is?
In 2 Peter.
Okay, let me look at that right quick before we go on. 2 Peter what? Let me see here. I think that's the only time he's mentioned in Scripture. Okay, two were.
Verse 15.
Okay. Which have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumbass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophets. Or the prophet, the madness of the prophet. Okay. All right, Luke chapter 1. Let's just start with verse 5 here. Get a drink. Now we're learning to walk, learning to flow in the Spirit of God. When we do that, there is no room for emotion. It doesn't mean we don't have compassion, don't get me wrong. But as we've looked at in Galatians, the walk of the flesh reaps death, the walk of the Spirit, life. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest office before God in order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall be he turned to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Hereby shall I know this, for I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. So we know from this story that Zacharias, the day that John was circumcised, and he said, no, call his name John, when the women were arguing with Elizabeth, she's going to call him John. And he said, no, his name is John. He was able finally to speak again. See, God came. What?
Revelation 2:14 is what you're looking for Balaam.
Okay. Well, I didn't know there was another. Revelation 2:14. Okay. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold. This is a church here. Which church? Pergamos. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. He talks over here about the Nicolaitans. That was the Babylonian Jezebel spirit. This is in the same here, right here. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate, which Dake brings out that they were in that Nephilim bunch, that's why God forbid them to have anything to do with them, to intermarry with them. They said, you're not going to be like the people around you, because they were of Cain, the seed of Cain. And so it was a polluted bloodline, and it caused them to sin. And Balaam, what all he did caused Israel to stumble in that area. That's pretty serious. And here, John is being exhorted as probably apostle to these seven churches in Asia Minor after he comes off of Patmos. Some say he was not exiled. Some say he was just there. The Lord had him there at that time to impart to him his apostleship, the seven churches in Asia Minor. So that's what I think what he's talking about. He is telling these people, or telling John, these churches have these strengths and these witnesses. Because that's what the apostle's office does, really. I'm not going to get it. The Lord's been showing me some things about the office of the apostle. The apostle's really oversees pastors. He exhorted churches. Paul went and wrote letters to churches and exhorted the churches. He got on the churches sometimes. Young Timothy, think about him. He groomed young Timothy. He was a pastor. So John was talking to, God was talking to, Jesus was talking to John, telling him, this is what these churches, this is their strengths, these are their weaknesses. What he had to deal with before he showed him the revelation. Okay, not going to get off on that. All right. I'm going to read this to you. So I'll get it right. I remember being on staff as the pastor's secretary, and the pastor was counseling the lady. I knew who she was. She was a minister. He left the door open between us. So his office was here, mine was here, and there was a door right here. He did it on purpose. If Paulette couldn't be in there with him, usually they shut the door. If she wasn't there, then I was supposed to be there to hear what was said as a witness. He left the door open between the office, his office and mine, so that I could be a witness of what was said. During that visit, there was a lot of the Lord said this and the Lord said that. During that visit, she came back the next week, and like as before, the door was open between us, and that same lady said just the opposite of what she'd said the Lord said the week before. A total 180. I mean, I was just astounded by what I heard. And I remember afterward, I won't say the word. The pastor hollered in there and said, did you hear what I heard? I said, yeah, every word. He said, was it the same as last week? And I said, no, just the opposite. He said, okay, I just want to make sure. And I'm thinking, now this lady had some standing, and people knew who she was. And she was known for intercessory and stuff like that. And so it just kind of threw me back. I'm thinking, what's with this lady? It's weird. It's just one of the weirdest things that I've ever experienced. I don't know that I've ever seen her to this day. I probably wouldn't know her now if she walked up to me. Anyway, as we flow in the supernatural, we must be able to hear the Lord's voice and obey it. Jesus had a different will than the Father, but he did not let it cloud his judgment. All right. Let's go further in chapter 1 of Luke, verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. Of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come on thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Well, as a result of her doing that, the first thing she did was talk to Daddy and said, Daddy, I want to go see Elizabeth. And what happened when she saw Elizabeth? She got a confirmation by what Elizabeth said. And she saw that she was pregnant, that what the angel had said was true. Because she chose to believe, not let her emotions get involved. God blessed her with a confirmation. Because really her situation was more dire than the other. It'd be harder to believe that you could conceive without a husband than, you know, to be old and conceive. So she took the Lord at his word, the angel at his word, and so God confirmed it. God confirmed it. Zechariah was wanting confirmation before he would believe. He didn't get it till after the fact, after everything was said and done. All right. God in these last days is taking out the old guard. Why? Two reasons. They finished their race. They're obstructing his plan. It's one or the other. I've had on several occasions the Lord show me situations where a person is going to pass away. Not easy to hear. And usually you can't say anything. God is giving a FYI. When Danny's uncle passed away, we were at Monday night prayer. He didn't pass away that day, but we were at Monday night prayer at Abundant Life. And the Lord spoke to me. He was in the hospital. The Lord said he will come out of the hospital, but he will not recover. I didn't know when. I did tell Danny about it, but we didn't tell, you know, his wife, or we didn't tell his mother about that. It's not an easy situation. Usually when this happens, like Mary, I will ask, is there anything I can do? Is there any way I can pray? Is there any, what would you have me do? But it's been my experience a handful of times that I'm not allowed to say anything. It's already going to happen. All right. Probably more than likely, the Lord's tried to get the person's attention somewhere anyway before it came to me. I remember Brother Hagin, the minister that had the most dynamic ministry of anyone, I guess he said he'd ever seen. I think, was it Oral Roberts also said he had the most dynamic ministry? I mean, we're talking, I don't know if he rose people from the dead, but blind eyes opened, deaf ears opened, all kinds of miracle, fantastic things happening. But God told him, you know, go tell him to judge himself in three areas, finances, in his diet, and his love walk, which those are the three majors. And I'm talking about eating too much, surfeiting, overindulgences. And Brother Hagin never did go to him, but someone else did, and within a short time he was gone. And he wasn't an old man, he was a pretty young man. Okay, by far most of the prophet's ministry is private, and it's a little bit public, but mainly private. The Lord shows you things, being God's mouthpiece. I think prophets are God's sounding board. A lot of times the Lord just tells you stuff, and you just think, some things you can share and some things you cannot share. God needs somebody to talk to sometimes, I guess. I don't know how else to explain it. But relax, the Lord hasn't told me anything about anybody you know about anything like that. So don't. The Lord just had me share that for a reason. He does share his things, and I have to take what God says, just like you do, and say, well, as far as I'm concerned, it's written in stone. If the Lord has not given me a way to change it or a way to pray differently. And even though, you know, we can get emotional about things and we come before the Lord and try to talk him out of it. I think the best way to be is like Mary. Well, Lord, how's this going to happen since I don't have a husband, you know? Well, this is going to happen. I think there's a proper way to come to God. Okay, 1 Corinthians 2. Lord, I don't like the way you answered that. I don't like the way you're doing that. So the potter's supposed to say to the pot, or is going to say to the potter, why did you make me so? Why are you doing this, Lord? I don't like your plan. I don't like the way you're doing things. Ever heard that? This stinks. We're talking about walking in the Spirit. When we're walking in the Spirit, there's no room for emotions. It doesn't mean we don't have compassion. Don't get me wrong. 1 Corinthians 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Wouldn't we be better off if that's all we know? In the presence of some people, it is best to just know that and to not say anything else. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. He's having a problem. You see Paul's dilemma here. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that by your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. God doesn't need your emotions in the mix. Why do you think he says in our weaknesses is when he is made strong? Well, you know what? When you're weak, it's usually your emotions are involved in it, isn't it? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. Just think about this right quick. And the Lord's been showing me this, and I've been doing this. The enemy likes to show you a failure, a fault, a impurity, something wrong with you, something like that. He likes to flash it in your face to get your emotions all stirred up. But the Lord's saying this, when he does that, let the picture of restored, fixed, whole, whatever the situation may be, immediately let that picture flash. See, this is what meditation, this is what light be. When he brings that, you bring that. That counters that. You see the image in you that God says, already done, already yes, already well, best is yet to come. If we go to the other side, what happens? Our emotions gets all mixed up in it, and before you know it, our jaws are down in the dirt. We're just dragging. Last week we talked about the ascension process. Well, there it is. You're either going to be up or down. Well, really the best way to be is not, highs can also be emotional. It's just even, Stephen, unmoved, at rest, at peace. Yeah, that's God's way. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for that had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor it have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, not through our emotions. Mm-mm. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? You can't trust those emotions. You can't. They're all over the place. So many people gauge their day and what they do by their emotions. Not by, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. They just don't think about it. You just go on and do business. You just do what you got to do. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. If you don't believe it, just get around a bunch and just start talking about things and watch what happens. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We are not wrestling with God. You will not win if you wrestle with God. All right, let's go over to Genesis 32. I've been perceiving for a few weeks now a walking out of a place, a dark place. Just walking out of a dark place. A dark place is where your emotions have got control of you. That's all it's about. Urkel was right. It's feelings. It's nothing more than feelings. And that's just what the devil uses against every person in the earth. All right. This is 32:22. This is Jacob we're talking about here. And he said he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. When he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. See, Jacob meant supplanter, deceiver. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. So what is the significance of this? Well, let me keep reading. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And he passed over Peniel. The sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. Now I'm going to tell you what I think. This is what I think the Lord showed me about this. He had gotten in great concern about Esau. He was doing everything in his power to try to protect himself from Esau. God didn't want him doing that. God was his protector. He's fixing to become Israel. All right. Jacob was to get approval of Esau by giving him offerings instead of looking to God, probably instead of giving offerings to God. And then what Balaam was doing, he was compromising himself to appeal Balak. Even after God said no. God said no concerning Esau. Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. Pretty strong words. Why Esau, he was like of those of Cain. That's pretty strong for God to say, I hate him. Well, if he hates him, you know what he must have been or must have been part of. Okay, it is time for us to stop struggling. Time to let go what God has said no to and to embrace what he has said yes to. Not any amount of fasting, begging, crying, or praying is going to change it. There's just some absolutes. He may be saying, this is the only way it's going to happen. I'm not changing the way it's going to happen. I'm not going to change what I'm going to do. You might as well just get on board and stop the bawling and the squalling and all that stuff going on. Just an emotional fit that keeps you out of commission for days. Keeps you avoiding places and all things. Understand what I'm saying here? I don't have the hardness better than anybody else, but I know it is necessary to get you to the road where you need to go. God knows best. He's trying to get a people that will be Joshua and Caleb's that will take his word and they'll go in and conquer the land. Because he wants to ultimately bless. That's the goal. But the process, the trek out, is painful at times. It takes hardness to make the transition. Just like birth, I'm sure that baby's in as much pain as that mother is coming forth. That's why they come out crying, I'm sure. Yeah. All right, let's look at Romans chapter 9. Y'all, is this making sense to y'all? Okay. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom are concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, they are not the children of God. Now, when you hear people say, oh, we're just all the children of God, well, we are not. We are not. He just said it right here. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, they are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And now, not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by her father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, and it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall I say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Why didn't God choose a man to do what he's called me to do? I've had that ask, well, why ain't Danny on TV? And I said, I guess because God didn't tell Danny to be on TV. God chose me from my mother's womb. What am I to say to that? Try to make up excuses to you to feed your male ego? No. God does what he does. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore, hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that rebellest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay, or the same lump, to make one vessel unto honor and unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much longsuffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles? As he saith also in Osee, I will call them my people, which are not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass, and in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabbath had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and been made like unto Gomorrah. What shall we say then, that the Gentiles which follow not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So, of course, Paul's probably dealing here with Jews that don't understand why the Gentiles should be anything or have anything, or, you know, that religious thinking. But God chooses whom he chooses. He has a reason why. He knows what's in the heart. He knows if he can trust them or not. All right. Hebrews 12. Even about yourself. Even about yourself. I don't think you have the right to even question God about yourself. Trash yourself, condemn yourself. It's like saying, well, God made a mistake. You ever look in the mirror and hit yourself in the head with a hairbrush? You know? Like you're just, I hate this hair. Women go through that more so than men. Yeah. All right, Hebrews 12:14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. We got to watch who we hang with. Who Balaam hung with, if he'd have sent them packing, that would have been the end of it. But their presence enticed him. Silver and gold. Ooh, honor. All right. Abraham had his own struggles. When God is trying to impart to him his plan to Abraham. What did Abraham do? This is Genesis, if you want to look it up later. This is Genesis 17, 18. He's trying to say, I'm going to give you a baby through Sarah. He said, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. You see why some people never make it? Because they have the way they think it ought to be done. I mean, I've seen it for years, churches, preachers that have fallen by the wayside because, I mean, I've even had some that I thought really had it together give me some advice, and it wasn't more the God's advice to me than it was anything. And I'm thinking, excuse me? I can't just do that. I've been Holy Ghost trained, not cemetery trained. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, you've got to hear God. You have to let God say, go here, do this, do that. Not your emotions. Well, that's the way we were taught in seminary. You just got to get out there and beat the bushes and send out letters and do all this stuff. And the Lord said to me, well, through Danny, don't promote yourself. Don't you even try to promote yourself to do anything. You let me do it. That's God's way, like Joseph. You let God do it. One day you'll say, get a call, Pharaoh on the line. And I see why this particular minister has never gone anywhere. If that's been the way, we just got to get out there and beat the bushes. I'm not the judge. God is. But, you know, we can't just do what we think. Our emotions, well, we got up today and we just feel like we just need to do more. We just feel like we've got to do something, so we just go do something. This is dead. Just dead. You'll never win that way. All right, Galatians. Y'all should probably have known that was coming, Galatians. You need to send your emotions packing just like Abraham had to send Hagar and Ishmael packing. The works of the flesh. This is Galatians 4:22. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. In other words, one was not God's plan, the other one was God's plan. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are two covenants. See, two masters. The flesh, you're serving the devil. So what it says here, two masters, just like Matthew 6, 24 through 34, taking thought, acting on that. All right. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth the bondage, which is Hagar. I mean, you go round and round and round and round and round and round the mountain. You know what the flesh does when we get emotional? Round and round and round and round and round and round the mountain. The Lord just lets us keep going around. He just said they'll stop. Eventually they'll get dizzy and maybe they'll hear me when they get done. I'm so dizzy. I mean, really? I know it sounds funny, but isn't it the truth? It's what they did for 40 years in the wilderness. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia in answer to Jerusalem, which now is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. So they got many more children by the flesh than they have of promise. Now we, brethren, are as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. They may make fun of you, but let them go ahead. I don't care. I've been made fun of. I don't care. They lose, not me. If you're following the Lord, you're never going to lose. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we're not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. What is free? Walking in the spirit. What's bondage? Walking in the flesh. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. Wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Like I'm telling you, if you do those visualizations, whatever's coming against you, get the opposite in your mind. See the opposite. Nope, already done. Bye-bye. Send the devil packing. Resist the devil. He'll flee. Do what God did. Get a picture of what you want when you see that earth out there covered in water and darkness. Get a picture of what you want. Evidently, God wanted to see light, so that's what he envisioned. The Spirit of God hovered over that situation, brooded, it said. That's meditation. Get a visual image. It's like someone that can't walk, lays back and sees themselves walking, doing things that they couldn't do. What good is it doing seeing what's bad? It just makes you even more sad and more miserable and wretched. Good for nothing. Just want to give up. That's what it makes you want to do. Okay, let's turn now over to Genesis, just the first. Well, I don't need to read that. Well, yes, I do. Let me go. 21. Genesis 21. You'll have a lot more laughter in your life. Right here, verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded. And Abraham was 120 years old when his son Isaac was born. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh. She wasn't laughing when Hagar was mocking her because of her fleshly mistake. Her emotions got involved. God has made me to laugh so that all that hear will laugh with me. Now that's the place to be. That's the place to be. He could not move or receive God's best until he finally obeyed God. Either one of them. That's why I went around the mountain for 25 years. Sometimes I think, well, people just think, well, you know, I'm going to do what I'm still going to do. I can't do what Lord said for me to do. I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. And hopefully, maybe one day in that insanity, you know, let's keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over again to reach our conclusion. That's, you know, it's insanity. It's not going to change. It ain't going to change. That's why we got to change. Okay. The word Isaac means laughter. God brings laughter. When we follow his way and his plan, why would you want to hold on to something that has only caused you to struggle? Now I want y'all to pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, my prayer today is that God's plan would be my plan. I want laughter in my life. No more struggle. Help me, Lord, to move into your plan and abandon my plan. Thank you for helping me with my emotions so they will not cloud my judgment. In Jesus' name, I pray.